Welcome aboard, you people.
Thank you.
It was almost an incident that just occurred here.
Just now?
Yeah.
Or when we were looking at the Johnny Depp news?
Oh, well, there was that, too. But there was just an incident now. I was almost assaulted.
Here in the studio?
Like Johnny Depp, who is now claiming that he was assaulted.
Right.
By, you know...
Amber Heard.
Yeah.
It's always her fault. Mm-hmm. She's done a lot bad to him.
Our producer, Jeff, just came in here and threw a pen at my head, and I could have easily gotten MRSA, which is exactly what Johnny Depp is claiming. We will discuss it. Johnny will be here to discuss that.
He'll strain it up.
Coming up a little bit later on in the program. I don't want to get ahead of myself here.
Did you hear the news that Rahm Emanuel, former mayor, now has two new jobs? One, it was announced, I think, this morning or late last night that he's a contributing editor to The Atlantic. He's mm-hmm. already written several articles for them since last fall, and now he's officially a contributing editor. And just this afternoon announced ABC News, apparently, will be hiring him as a contributor. So he officially joins the pundit class.
So he'll be on that Stephanopoulos show. And we'll have to be, yeah, all right. Yeah, I see that, yeah.
Okay. Also shows like Good Morning America as a political analyst, and this week he'll be on is what the Daily Beast is reporting.
Yeah. Now, where do you find an agent, I wonder?
How did that, yeah. What kind of context does he have in, like, broadcasting and Hollywood? And
It would be funny if his brother wouldn't take him. I kind of see, as I've gotten to understand the Emanuel brothers.
Uh-huh.
And Rahm being the least successful by a million miles of the Emanuel brothers, they will be they're the ones that, yeah, you gotta kind of just understand they're competitive, right?
Super competitive.
And I can imagine him calling his brother Ari,
mm-hmm.
who runs WME Endeavor,
basically runs Hollywood,
most powerful agency currently in Hollywood. And calling him up and going, hey, brother, I need your help. And then his brother saying to him, not a chance.
Well, his recent article for The Atlantic is about how Democrats bring back the middle class to under their tent, and to listen up to what they have to say about income disparity and the whole college admissions scandal, how that was yet another incident coloring people's views against the privileges of wealthy elites, as he calls
them. Yeah.
Elites.
Yeah. Elites always take it on the chin. You know, we all strive to be elites. And then even I like when the president says he's not an elite. Who are these elites? I went to better colleges. I have more money. I got much prettier wives.
Uh-huh.
They call themselves the elites. I'm the elite. And somehow his fans love it when he calls himself an elite, but the fans hate the elites, right?
Yeah, I think in his case, he says elite, but he's calling out the establishment because he's not part of the establishment.
Yeah, but he's the president of the United States.
Well, but look at the pushback he gets from more established players, even within his own party.
I would like to name one guy in his own party, with the exception of some guy named Amish.
Well, I would say during the presidential run, for sure, everyone was turning their backs. And then when he wins, that changes the game in Washington.
Suck-ups.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But some are saying that finally the mayor has a platform to do something about inequality. So, I mean, I bet that he's definitely talking about the issues. And, you know, he understands politics. He'll be a great, I think, great voice in the political as we lead up to the election.
That's totally true. I think that he will. He's got good ideas about this. He's mm-hmm. got the Democratic Party is a mess. I mean, Donald Trump is only president of the United States because the Democratic Party couldn't get their crap together, and still continues to not be able to get their crap together. So that's not necessarily an easy thing. All right, we will be talking about weed being legal in the state of Illinois this year.
Is it going to happen?
Appears not to be on the track to occur. Hell!
Dude.
Everyone thought that it was sort of a gimme that was going to happen this year.
Yeah.
This legislative session.
I have one word for them. Harsh.
Brutal.
That's it.
Brutal.
I thought you were going to say Hinkenlooper. Because that was your favorite.
No.
Word when you're really talking stoned, about Colorado.
I would like to explain to people that when you're really stoned, just say the mantra Hickenlooper to yourself. Just say that would be whatever your, I don't know what your om, your, you know, whatever, I don't know. Do you do the namaste stuff?
Sure,
I don't know,
when you breathe out, yeah. Just say something.
Right. Hickenlooper. It makes you almost stone just doing it.
Why is there an echo?
It's in my head. Did you hear that too?
Are you hearing that? Like, not just to the speaking in general, but the
Yeah. I don't know. Just because it is. That's
side
how
effects.
It goes. All right.
And he's one of the candidates for president. Let's not forget. So, speaking of the Democratic.
Hickenlooper.
Candidates.
He is still in the race?
He is. Yep. He is still.
I can't believe. I totally forgot about him. You never see his name mentioned in any of the polling.
Nope.
Oh, I'm shocked. Totally shocked. All right, Ben Bradley's going to join us here in just a few moments. He's got a story. We were on the 40th anniversary of one of the greatest air disasters in world history that happened right here in Chicago at O'Hare. There's a story about that tonight. And a couple of other interesting things happening at the WGN-TV newsroom. We'll get to him in just a moment. But first, it is time to figure out what's happening in the WGN radio newsroom. Here's Kim.
Pro-abortion activists rallying across the country today.
40 years after an airliner crashed upon takeoff at O'Hare, finally a place to remember, Flight 191. It is tonight's cover story on WGN-TV News at 9 o'clock.
Ben Bradley is in the WGN-TV newsroom right now, and that's one of the stories that they are working on. You're working on specifically, right, Ben?
Mike Lowe actually has the story, and very interesting. Shortly after Mike and the WGN team started running promos talking about this special look back that they were going to do for the 40th anniversary of this plane crash, which, let's not forget, it was the biggest loss of life for a U.S. aviation disaster other than on 9/11.
Mm-hmm.
Still is to this day, even though it happened 40 years ago. So after they put together this piece looking at some of the descendants of people who were on that doomed DC-10 jetliner, they heard from a guy who said, you know, I was supposed to be on that plane.
Oh, gee.
And at the last minute, this is a local guy from Chicago. The plane was going from Chicago to Los Angeles, only was in the air about 30 seconds or so. It actually lost its left engine on takeoff, on the runway, made it into the air, and then essentially cartwheeled into a mobile home community just beyond the airport footprint. But this guy who reached out to Mike was supposed to be on that flight because he was going to go on a motorcycle trip. But because gas prices had gotten so high, his group had decided to cancel the trip at the last minute. He doesn't get on the plane.
Wow.
Man.
And 40 years later, he has become a bigwig in Chicago's banking community. But Mike's piece, so Mike will have that for you today at 5 o'clock on the WGN News, and then at 9 o'clock, the story of two daughters of Bill and Corrine Borchards, who met and married shortly after World War II. They were on that DC-10. They were going to L.A. and then on to Hawaii for their second honeymoon. The plane crashed. Obviously, the couple did not survive. But for years and years and years, their daughters had tried to piece together the stories of the other people who were on that airplane, that American Airlines flight. They wanted to memorialize them in a fitting way. For a long time, they weren't even allowed access to the crash site. They weren't even allowed to go out there and see for them what had become sacred ground. And then, through their hard work, through a couple of chance encounters, they were able to piece together the stories of other families, bring them all together, and actually get a memorial built in Des Plaines honoring the 273 people who died on that plane.
My dad, after he retired from the service, he transferred over to the civil defense for the state of Illinois. And that unit, you know, was called out to do the recovery efforts to go out and, you know, put flags in the ground to figure out, you know, where the bodies were. And the stories my dad came back with from that, you know, it was totally life-altering.
Well, they say the first responders, the Tribune interviewed, said that this was not, you couldn't identify bodies.
Well, because this was fully a DC-10 laden, fully loaded with jet fuel headed for Los Angeles.
Yep.
So not only did you have the impact of that crash into the ground, but then you had the fire that erupted after it.
You could see that tower of smoke from downtown easily. It was a black tower of smoke, and it was about an hour and 15 minutes in the air, you know, of that of that, just that inferno burning before they could get, there was not much they could do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, he described, you know, melted jewelry and other kinds of things that, because the heat was so intense, there was so little left of you know, that they could piece together. I suppose for accident investigators, the good news about that was that there were so many pictures of the plane, and they were able to recover the engine, and they were able to recover the maintenance records,
mm-hmm.
and figure out exactly what had gone wrong. They had cracked the connection between the wing and the engine when placing the engine back up on the wing after maintenance,
mm-hmm.
and that as they were putting it up there, they went just a little further, and as opposed to bolting it in, it kind of jammed it in to the wing, and then it cracked that item that they bolted in, and that's how the whole thing happened.
Yeah, and they actually had the engine, right? Because it dropped off right there on runway 32, right, I think it was, and the engine was left there on the runway as the plane continued into the air. It's pretty wild to think that DC-10 was able to continue into flight with two of its three engines, but as the engine dropped off the plane, it apparently damaged a bunch of the hydraulics as well. So not only did you have, you know, a sudden immediate imbalance in thrust, but then the pilots lost control of the aircraft.
Right, mm-hmm. right, because they're putting the flaps up. The flaps went mm-hmm. up on the left side, didn't go up on the right side.
Let's talk about some of the things that resulted from this, because it changed aviation safety. The FAA initially grounded all the DC-10s, but then lots of things came of this in terms of the way things were handled from a safety perspective. I know the airlines then had to communicate with each other about when they were having maintenance issues mm-hmm. so they could share data. There was a more communication with the manufacturer that was required. Our producer was just telling us Illinois passed a law about implants and dental records had to be marked and also shared so you could identify victims. Lots of things changed.
Indeed, and I think when you look back at that, it was such a pivotal moment for so many reasons in commercial aviation, because, you know, this is the late 1970s, right? Jet travel was still, it was certainly not nearly as common as it was today, but it was the kind of the turning point of when, you know, commercial aviation was becoming far more commonplace, and they were trying to take some of the mystery surrounding it. They're saying, hey, let's not have only American Airlines mechanics talk to American Airlines about issues involving their planes, because
right.
a lot of people are operating these planes. And nowadays, you have committees across airlines, across airplane manufacturers.
Across the unions, too. Yeah,
yeah, across the unions that do nothing but talk about safety. But here, all these years later, you know, we have the grounding of the Boeing 737 MAX 8s.
Right.
And the FAA certainly investigating why problems that were reported did not get shared as widely and broadly as one would think they should.
The DC-10 back then used to have, American had this thing where they put a camera in the cockpit and you would watch cockpit operations while you were taking mm-hmm. off on all the yeah. screens in the, in other words, it would be a screen at the head of every class and you'd be able to watch what was going on.
Mm.
And so these people watched this happen yeah. on board the aircraft.
Well,
as
yep.
it was nosing down. And and there's another interesting story. There were a number of Playboy executives on board this aircraft that were going from Chicago back to L.A. because the two, you know, they were headquartered in both places. This one woman had written a book about her life's experience. And on page 191 of her book, she talked about her fear of flying.
Hmm.
And it's one of those, you know, little ironies about the, you know, the whole thing, because it was its own, you know, it was not just an air disaster. It was a national tragedy
right.
in a lot
well,
of ways.
And let's not forget one of the reasons why it registered so much in the public psyche at the time, and that is because, you know, nowadays something happens and there's instantly video of it everywhere on social media. But this was 1979, and it happened. The Tribune wrote about it today. There, you know, there was a student pilot who was on a layover who was taking pictures out at the airport. Michael Lawson, I believe it was his name, and he happened to be taking pictures of that plane, not only for its pushback at the gate, but as it took off and captured that DC-10 mm-hmm. cartwheeling in the air.
Yeah.
Wow.
This is the front page of the paper the following day. It was an astounding moment.
Yep.
All right, so more of that tonight at 4 o'clock.
Five and 9 p.m. on WGN. Right.
Thank you very much.
Yep.
Thank you, Ben. Appreciate it. All right, let's check in with Kim Gordon in the WGN newsroom in 2 minutes.
Come on, baby, lay on fire.
Yeah, it's the Roe Coverage. DeSantis. And we here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis have a certain, have a couple things that, piece of business in front of the Illinois legislature.
There are.
Yeah.
Major pieces of legislation.
Now, there are some people, I'm not one of them, but there are some people here on the program who really want to see pot legalized like yesterday. And then there are some people who really want to see gambling legalized like 6.5 weeks ago or the last time my bookie knocked on my door.
Would you be one of those people?
Yes, I would be one of those people.
Mm-hmm.
And what we're told now is that the there's trouble with both of these bills. There's a lot of stakeholders in the gambling one, and the pot one seems to be falling apart in terms of recreational marijuana. There was a lot of law enforcement pushback and
yep.
and other kinds of people along the way that are jumping in, do-gooders, looky-loos.
Number of, like, should you be able to grow your own at home, and that part piece of it is sort of...
Well, you can't grow it at home.
Well, under certain, I guess certain people feel you should do that, and others are saying that's not a good idea.
It'd be hard to keep track of the five.
Dude.
Right?
Yeah,
right.
Five per person.
Kill the farm in my closet.
Dude, don't open my closet door. Don't open it. I know there's a lot of light coming out from underneath it, but don't open it.
That's
still
only
hot
five,
in here.
That's only five plants, right? Count them.
Yeah. Right, but don't plants look like more? I mean, how do you know five plants? Because those plants all look like there's 30 plants in one plant. That's the way I would argue it, Your Honor. All right, hold on. Ellie Marotti is with us. She is from the Chicago Tribune. She's covering this. And we're trying to get this whole thing figured out. It's not likely that this year, at least in this session, there is going to be marijuana legalization or decriminalization.
I wouldn't say not likely quite yet. They still have they have till the end of the month to take some action, and there's behind-the-scenes talks going on. There's probably going to be another amendment introduced that would tackle some of these issues that you were talking about, like the home growing and that, you know, things of that nature. So, you know, we could still see some movement. I think we'll definitely see a few changes in the next few days. So then it just depends how quickly they can work after that, I guess.
We did talk to Bill Brady, who's a Senate minority leader, and he seemed to believe last week mm-hmm. that Republicans, although you don't need Republicans here to do anything, they can all vote against it, but that Republicans have been able to sway some of the Democrats, especially downstate Democrats, about this. And I suppose the homegrown piece, that was law enforcement had the biggest pushback with that, saying, you know, the pot's going to come in the front door, go out the back door, essentially, and that it's just going to create drug dealers out of people living in, you know, their homes. I think that might be a little bit of an overstatement, but it is, you know, it still is what it is. We all knew somebody wanted to make beer in their garage, right? I mean, we all knew that. So there will be people who, you know, definitely want to have pot parties with the stuff that they're doing there. But what sort of are they going to take that provision out totally? Is that what you're hearing?
I'm hearing that it likely won't be taken out entirely, but maybe just relegated to the medical patients, which in Illinois we have about 67,000 of those right now, and that program's continuing to grow. I think we'll see. I think the other issue with lawmakers was that they were requesting some more of the funding too for enforcement of this new law were it to pass. So, yeah, there's a couple of different things going on here.
Would you say, Ellie, that's the biggest pushback right there from law enforcement and how to enforce the laws about personal usage and that kind of thing?
I can't say for sure what the biggest pushback is. I think only the lawmakers would know kind of what's going on behind the scenes there. I know there have been some concerns raised about the expungement portion mm-hmm. of the bill as well, which would, as it's written now, it would... I think they said that there's around 800,000 people that right. would be eligible for expungement of low-level felonies and misdemeanors related to marijuana. So there was some talk about that potentially being changed as well, but I think we should really, we'll find out in the next couple of days here, I think.
Yeah, I mean, how do you manage that number? 800,000 expungements, you'd have to have people in charge of that, right? That's a huge number of expungements to investigate and then handle and push through a system that typically takes a fairly number of months per expungement. So I wonder how they've handled that and what kind of funding would be devoted toward.
Well,
that.
I think they would do these. It's like a mat. The idea, Allie, if I'm not mistaken, here was just a mass of anything that was coded mm-hmm. with those particular criminal numbers,
like possession of a certain amount.
Because there's a code associated with all of the, mm-hmm. you know, anything you could be convicted of, charged with or convicted of. So those just automatically come off every record. Now,
I know that's how they got to that number, was using that code, but I'm not sure the whole process, or even if it's been laid out, how you would go about getting your record expunged.
And not all the records are computerized. That's the damnedest thing, is that the state of Illinois still has a lot of hard paper records for things. So then you got to go back, you know, somebody from 30 years ago.
Just seems like a major headache, doesn't it?
Yeah.
To handle all of that, manage that.
Exactly. All right. Well, Allie, thank you very much. Appreciate it. So there is some hope, Kev.
I like the new position they're creating, too, if this goes through, the Illinois Cannabis Regulation Oversight Officer, which is a really lengthy name for the weed king of Illinois.
Or the weed czar, I've heard
it called.
The weed czar,
yeah.
And the weed czar.
I like, I've already purchased real estate for five of my new stores. Bong on me drum all day. I'm still working on the name.
Okay.
I like it.
It's a good working name.
Bonged Up. That was another one that I wanted to, that I'm working on.
You're going to operate a dispensary? Is that what you're talking about?
No. Just a bong store.
The Rokan Show bong store?
Yeah.
I like that.
Oh, gosh.
Just Bongs Are Us.
Bongs Are Us.
I figured now the Toys R Us is gone. I was actually going to go into the Toys R Us old locations. There's so much demand for bongs.
Turns out maybe the gummies is the way to go, we've learned from Kevin and his video video store explorations.
It's keeping video rental stores alive.
Isn't
basically
that something?
CBD.
Yeah.
There are family videos across Illinois. They're selling CBD, and they're open because of it. I mean, who's gone to Family Video, with all due respect to Family Video, to rent a DVD in the past 2-3 years? You know? I mean, it's like not a lot of people.
Yeah, right. Yeah, it's dead-enders, let's just face it.
Right.
It's people who've lost the right to have
what the
internet.
Hell is the internet, man? I'm going to get a DVD. I'm popping it in my DVD player. I bought at Goodwill this past weekend.
That's right, Kevin. Then they cannot track exactly what my thoughts are. If I just go to get the DVD.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking, Creepy Uncle.
I like to go to the VDD store, and I like to get the VD.
Do you get the gummies while you're there, too, or are you more the video guy?
No, I am just... That would be illegal. I am just there for the VDs.
We can post up, eat some of your famous Spam sandwiches, and watch some DVDs.
It's exactly what I like to do. I am a very, very big fan of the Magnum PI series, and I have the entire box set.
It's good to have time on your hands.
Yeah, that's what happens. Mm-hmm. That was the poor dude. Yeah. All right, so I think that this and the gambling thing, we heard from our guy.
I don't want to say, is it Vic or Nick?
One of them.
One of those guys.
We heard from one of them today.
Our guy.
Yeah. Who was like,
I think we got some motion here. I'm having a little trouble breathing right now because we've got some motion. I walked all the way across the hallway to make this phone call.
So the gambling piece of things looks pretty good.
That looks like it might be coming together too.
Oh, interesting.
I mean, come on, get it through.
Yeah.
I know someone who's happy about that. A couple people, maybe.
I know a couple people too. A
couple people?
A couple 2-3 guys.
Hold
on.
Hold on, we don't need the air war yet. Hold on. Keep your powder dry. I'll call you back if I need something. Now I got to get all the way across the hall, go the other way now. God. Oh, God, I can barely breathe.
Take it easy.
Long Bong Silvers. I love that name. A listener just texted that in.
Long Bong Silvers.
Shows Long Bong Silvers.
Let's see if the
that's
URL
great.
Is available.
Maybe I could go to the Long John Silver stores that are closing.
Yeah,
I don't
perfect.
Know if they are, but it would be perfect. Long Bong Silvers.
Yeah. Somebody already has the Instagram handle. So
of Long Bong Silvers?
Yeah, and a YouTube channel.
So. Yeah, well, Long Bong Silvers was my name when I was an amateur actor.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing I was different films.
Yeah, long.
Yeah. Interesting moments, I think, in Illinois history, though. I mean, we're about to see big changes.
Oh, yeah.
I never thought I would see. I knew we would see legalized marijuana by 2020.
You did?
I said
recreational?
Gay marriage and legalized pot by 2020. I've been saying that since 2010.
Okay.
There's no question about it. The gambling piece, I did not see that coming. Because I thought that the big casino interests were going to try to keep that killed, and that's an easy, you know, they're very powerful. But, you know, when you need the dough, and they need the dough, they're willing to try just about anything. And let's face it, I mean, it's there is so much action, especially on NFL Sundays in America, right? I mean, it's...
There is.
It's insane. So why not, you know, I mean, it's not like you're going to stop it. It's not like people aren't going to do it because it's illegal. It's illegal, and people are doing it in droves, you know, going offshore, using those websites that, and then all of a sudden, you know, a guy shows up at your door and, you know. I just barely made it up the stairs over here. Better answer your damn door because I need a glass of water, too.
Oh, gosh.
I need my five large and a glass of water. So that guy, right? You want that guy to stop showing up at your door.
Yeah, that's a dangerous way to do it in some cases.
Yeah.
This would be more regulated and taxed, which is the piece that the lawmakers really like about it all.
See, and for the gambler, you're not going to worry about getting taxed because you're already getting taxed. You know what I mean?
They really are.
Right? I mean, anybody who knows that they play on Sundays, it goes, you know, it's like, but I just only bet $1,000. Yeah, but there's juice. You owe me $12.50. Where's the water?
Where's the water?
Oh, gosh. I get kind of scared when I hear that.
He's always winded. Uh-huh. My bookie is always winded.
Mm-hmm.
But he's almost always right about everything, though.
Well, he doesn't tell you
to bet. What do you mean? You're taking the under? What are you, crazy? With all the money you owe me, take the over.
Does he have narcolepsy, too?
He's got something.
Breathing issues.
He's got something. Yeah. He always, his eyes always look like he's partially asleep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so narcolepsy. Poor guy.
I know. He's got a lot of issues. The fact that he has to chase me around is bad. And he's 5'15 if he's an ounce.
Oh, gosh.
All right.
Get his weight checked out.
Yeah.
I was worried about him.
Because I'm like, you know, for a guy who's 60, I mean, you really shouldn't be doing this.
It's like a little pug dog.
Are you kidding me? I'm 32. All right. Let's check in the WGN newsroom. Here's Kim. What's going on at the top of the hour?
The House Judiciary Committee has subpoenaed two more former members of the Trump administration.
Rokoff Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN.
Yes.
All right. We were just talking about Shannon Bream and her new book, which is called Finding the Bright Side.
The Art of Chasing What Matters.
Mm-hmm.
Something we all lose sight of, I think.
She's going to be joining us here in just a few minutes. And really is it's an interesting time to be in the television journalism world.
It is. You know something I thought was interesting? You saw Mayor Pete... South Bend Mayor Pete Buttigieg on the Fox News Town Hall on Sunday with Chris Wallace. And it's interesting because others in the Democratic Party had said no. Elizabeth Warren said she wouldn't appear. Kamala Harris said she wouldn't appear on Fox News for a town hall. DNC said, you're not going to host any of our primary debates. And Mayor Pete did it. And it seemed to be, he seemed to be treated fairly, for sure, if that was one of the concerns. I don't know if it was. I suppose it was. The audience, very, very... receptive, got a standing ovation at the end. Maybe they were allowed him to invite a lot of his supporters there, but it seemed like a good forum to participate. I'm not sure. I don't quite understand why all the Democrats would be shunning the news channel.
A little childish, if you ask
me. Don't you think so? I mean, I understand if you have an opinion host
like
Donald Hannity.
Trump, we're not going on your network.
Or if you have like a Hannity moderating it, that doesn't seem right. But if you have someone from their news side. Like a Brett Baer or a Brett, not Brett Hume, he's more of a contributor, but a...
Shannon Bream.
Shannon Bream, for instance, doing it. It seems like it might pay off for you.
You would think.
To track some of the people in the middle, some independents, some people why not put your message out there and let as many people hear it as possible? You're not running for president.
This is also news. It isn't just the news the president likes. So the president doesn't like the news, it's fake news. Even if it's accurate news about him, even if Fox is reporting it, it's fake news if it's not good for him. Because he only sees it. He only wants to have stories regardless. And not everybody's perfect. I don't know. Did you people all see Game of Thrones? You know, that's the whole point at the end, which is that we're as humans, we're flawed. So we make mistakes. Sometimes we're unpredictable. There are things that occur. There's love and duty and all those things. And sometimes they get in the way of each other.
Sometimes our leaders are flawed.
Yes. And they do things or say things that turn out not to be accurate. And it just happens. But never once. Never once in the president's life has he ever been wrong about anything. And so when he's, and I just, it's weird because the Fox News channel still says it's a news channel,
mm-hmm.
right? And doesn't it at that point have to make a decision to, to cover if there's a Democrat who's going to be a big time player? And I think Mayor Pete is kind of heading in that direction. I don't know that he is. That I don't think he's going to make it across the finish line. But then again, 4 years ago right now, I certainly didn't think Donald Trump was going to make it across the finish line.
Right.
So you don't know.
You don't. And I thought he did a good job with answering the questions. Certainly seemed to have well-thought-out answers, whether you agree with him or not. He did take many shots at the president, and the president wasn't happy on his news channel with them hosting a guy doing that.
That's my channel. You're not allowed to do that. I pay for this. No, you don't. Yes, I do.
Also took shots at Laura Ingraham and some of the other opinion people. Tucker Carlson, I believe. So, he spoke his mind. It is who he is. And the Fox News Channel hosted him.
Now, did Mayor Pete think that Tucker was better off with the bow tie or the open shirt?
I don't think he handled that.
That's the question that I'd like to know, with Tucker. Tucker somehow looks angrier with an open shirt than he does with a bow tie. And Tucker even once publicly said, he said it on this radio program years ago, a bow tie is like wearing a middle finger around your neck.
Can be. There's some who wear it well. Paul Simon, remember him?
Yes.
Didn't he wear that well?
Right. But this country gentleman lawyer, there's a look that you got to go for there.
There you go.
Not smarmy frat boy, which is, when the
smarmy privileged frat boy.
Smarmy privileged frat boy wears a bow tie. That really is a middle finger on your neck. So he decided, hey, I'm going to go with the open shirt. I'm going to do this open collar. It's, what everybody's doing these days. I'm going to do it. And somehow it's the angry open collar. I think what we learn here is that it's really about the wearer. More than it is anything else.
True. But somehow certain groups of people do tend to flock to the bow tie.
I don't know what that's about. Old country doctors and things like that. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
The bow tie doesn't get in the way of the patient when you're doing CPR or something. I mean, I do. I get the idea. You don't get, don't blow your nose on it. It's, it is what it is.
I would think the tie would get in the way when you're eating and stuff.
Right.
So I just, I guess by the concept of the bow tie sounds right, or maybe the not wearing it anymore at all. I mean, it seems like that's so much more of established practice now. You just show up at a business meeting, you don't have to have a tie.
But the bow tie is goofy. Because you got it, first of all, you have to almost be either in a barbershop quartet or super thin to pull off the bow tie.
I was going to say, if clowns and cats are wearing them, you might not want to wear one.
It's not something to emulate.
All right, now the cat in the long tie, I must point out, has a lot of challenges. Constantly stepping on its own tie, it's got there are problems with that.
That's a rough one, yeah.
Yeah, it is. That good.
Listener pointing out the next morning, 630 is saying Mayor Pete was trashed by Fox and Friends in the morning. So yes,
there you go.
President must be happy with
that. All right, well then, finally, justice has prevailed. This guy served the country, a thoughtful individual. He may not agree with his politics, but we need to trash that individual for even breathing the notion that our president is not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
That's right, El Jefe. All right. Let's take a quick break, and we believe we'll have Shannon Bream on the other side, and we could talk to her about the bow tie incident. But first, Kim, what's coming up in the news at the bottom of the hour?
Some local high school students will get a yearbook after all.
40 years after an airliner crashed on takeoff at O'Hare, finally a place to remember Flight 191. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
It's a Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis right here on 720 WGN. Shannon Bream joins us from the Fox News Channel. And Shannon has a new book out called Finding the Bright Side, The Art of Chasing What Matters. You know, let me just say something, Shannon. If you know what matters, I need to talk to you for about 2 hours every day.
And, don't take him up on that. Yeah, it'll be longer.
It might be longer because I work on this. I struggle with this every day. What do you think matters most?
Well, you know, for me, I'm a faith-based person. That's the most important thing. It's a great compass for me because it's so easy to be distracted by all the craziness of this world, mm-hmm. this crazy career, whatever you're doing. I mean, it feels like everybody's hair is on fire all the time. And I'm happy to talk to you for 2 hours a day. I'm not licensed. And you will get what you pay for. But
right. Well, I appreciate your service to my humanity. Right. But I'm telling you, you won't get through 15 minutes before you try to get some sort of
He's already exhausted order. The licensed
yes,
professional.
Exactly.
So.
Right. I really have. And they're like,
I'm
no. Yeah. When you get fired by your therapist, you know things are really not going well. So that's how that goes.
Oh.
All right. It's interesting, and I want to get to what's happening in the world, too. But with the thing about this book that I think is fascinating is that you take yourself through these different iterations in your life, right? Whether it's, you know, going through law school or when, you know, I think a lot of people know who are familiar with your backstory, Shannon, that you know, you were on the pageant circuit before and all of those and what all those experiences have done to create a the challenges that were brought and then the balance that came afterward. And I think that's an interesting thing because anybody who has to go through adversity or challenge themselves at some level has to find that balance.
And I mean, life takes you on a lot of weird detours. Some are awesome and some are terrible and you don't plan them, but it's all part of the process. And I do think that there is purpose in all of it and the good and the bad. And I think you got to go with it sometimes and whatever your circumstances are, make the best of it. And, you know, there are things that are really painful. And I thought that's why it was good to be transparent and honest. I try to be vulnerable with people in this book because I know every single one of us is going to have a tough moment, a valley, a dark place, a really bad spot in life. And I just wanted to say, listen, we've all been there. It is common to humanity, and there are ways to get through it.
Yeah. I think one thing, I mean, I enjoy your work on the Fox News Channel, and
thank
I know
you.
That you're a lawyer, chief legal correspondent, a regular on many of the shows, and have your own show at 11. And it's interesting because, you know, I know having gone through the news business myself that you see so much pain and you feel so much conflict, you know, even this political world mm-hmm. is a perfect example. I know you're dealing with it night after night and yet you seem to have such a sunny disposition. I think you stand out in that way in that you don't seem like a cynical individual. You don't seem like it's brought you down in that way.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things you share in your book is you have been through life's challenges, health challenges for you, mm-hmm. your husband, some other things, being told you'll never make it in the business and it's just not for you. And obviously, you've
we've
proven
all been told
wrong.
That, though.
We've probably all been told that, but I mean, you know, I get it. It's like, it's interesting how you haven't let that, or it's seemingly bring you down. Any of that.
Well, I mean, I do think it's good that you guys point out that almost everybody's going to get fired at some point or have someone who is not your biggest fan. And yeah, my first TV job, the guy who gave me a chance left the station, and the new guy who came in said, "You're the worst. Literally, why did that guy think it was a good idea to put you on TV? You're never, ever going to make it in this business. You should go back to being a lawyer, and I hope you're a better lawyer than a reporter." That stung. I mean,
and how old were you? How old were you at that time?
I was 29, 30 years old mm-hmm. then at that time because I'd been a lawyer for a few years before I got into TV and journalism. And I thought, whoa, did I make a huge mistake in leaving my law firm and abandoning that to pursue this passion, which I love. I'm a total news junkie. And I cried and I talked to everybody I loved and I got their reassurance. And I thought, you know what? I'm going to have to listen to the criticism. I'm going to have to see how I get better, you know, model people that I think are great in this business, be honest with myself, watch video, listen to my voice, and figure out how to, you know, shoot a stand-up and how to do everything better. Mm-hmm. And it took months and months and months before I could get another person to return my phone call and get back on my career path. But it's good that it happened to me because I think it kicked me out of the nest. It woke me up, and it was definitely a gut check.
Well,
we're all going to go there through that.
When you look back at that moment, was the guy right? Were you not working as hard as you needed to? I mean, was it the kick in the pants that did you deserve that, I suppose?
You know what? I was definitely working super hard. It wasn't lack of motivation or work ethic. but it was maybe being realistic about how far I had to go. And, you know, starting to watch those tapes of any live hits I would get to do religiously, going back and looking at what I needed to do better and just being honest with myself that you can't just walk from being a lawyer to being a reporter and expect that right. you're going to be great at it and you don't have things to learn. I had plenty to learn.
Although in Chicago, I've known that people have gone the other way and they're just fine lawyers day one. Don't worry about it. Hang a shingle. They're good to go. I read this.
The top goal, it's fine.
Right. This is on page 326. I remember this, Your Honor. All right. Let me just ask you, obviously, I don't know if you've noticed this, but we're already in full campaign mode.
Yeah.
You know, mm-hmm. I mean, it doesn't get any more. I suppose as we all look forward, can you, and we're all, you know, in our different, like sort of media silos here, and we all, you know, but we're all going to converge here on the same story, mm-hmm. coming up in the next couple of months. And as we make that turn into 2020, and I just cannot imagine how more dominant of the news cycle this can be than it already is. You know, it's like I'm already tired and I don't know what to do with it.
Gee, that's true.
I mean, it's never over, right? I mean, I don't think the presidential campaigns are ever over.
No.
So I feel like we've just been in one continuous one. Like, I've just sort of digested the fact that, hey, Donald Trump is the president of the United States. And now it's time to decide if America's going to reelect him or not. I mean, it really is just cuckoo town. It never stops. Your people are always raising money. They're always starting a PAC. They're always out giving a speech that might be foreshadowing a campaign run. I mean, I don't think it's ever over. So I think you just have to, you know, take a mental break when you can. But just realize, especially with this administration, this president, I ran into a reporter friend of mine who works at another outlet today. And we just decided we're not getting naps or any rest until there's a different president, whether that's 2 years, 4 years, just
or beyond. I don't understand. Kind of pause there for a moment. Like, yeah, well, it could be, you know, 2 years, could be 6 years, could be, I don't know. He might want to stay. It's just fascinating to me how Washington has adjusted to, you know, this, to an individual who, you know, is, sees himself as bigger than the whole process, you know, a lot of people argue that about Barack Obama, but I think that Barack Obama was a piker in that compared with Donald Trump in terms of, you know, this is my world and this is the way we're going to do it. And I just think sometimes I get up in the morning, I'm not gonna lie, for the last like 4 weeks, I have gotten up and I refuse to turn the television on. I'll figure it out when I get to work, and there's going to be, you know, I'm going to get a rundown from the producers, and I'll figure it out, and I'll go listen to the appropriate stuff. But it's almost like you're chasing, like I'm like a cat chasing a laser pointer if I start watching television too early.
You know, I don't watch it at all during the day. Is that bad? I just feel like it's just overload. It is just full on overload. I've got four TVs in my office on four different media outlets, but until I come to work, I don't watch anything. I'll listen to radio because I feel like that's easier to digest and kind of, all right, I hear what's bubbling, what people are talking about, what's going on.
Appreciate the plug.
But until, of course, this is one of the shows I'm listening to.
Of course, yeah.
As a priority, but I can't. I can't do it with the TV and the screaming and everything until I get a little bit later in the day and I've had a chance to wake up, and then I can digest it.
Because at 9 or 10 o'clock in the morning, you'll see two people screaming at each other about something. You'll go, oh, yeah, that'll definitely be on the show later.
And then it doesn't even make it.
Right, and then 8 hours later, you're like, it's like it happened 8 years ago.
It does. No one remembers
exactly.
it.
And we had that night last night because we had everything set up, everything ready to roll. And, you know, between 9 and 10, then we start seeing some communication back and forth between Don McGahn's lawyers and Chairman Jerry Nadler of the House Judiciary Committee. Then a letter comes in from the chairman at about 10:15. We're blowing things up, saying, like, okay, guys, forget it. I mean, it's a 24-hour news cycle every single day. We can have the show planned. Our first meeting's at 3:30 in the afternoon. By the time we get to 11 p.m. Eastern, it doesn't look the same. And that's just life as we know it now.
Yeah.
And we embrace it.
Yeah. I don't know about embracing it, but okay, but we're living it. That's the most important thing.
We're embracing it. We'll embrace it for you.
you're right.
Back to point number one.
Exactly. Finding the Bright Side is Shannon Bream's new book. Thank you, Shannon. Appreciate your time, as always.
Always great to visit with you guys. Have a good day.
Bye. Fox News Channel. You can see her at 10 o'clock Chicago time. All right. Let us now check in with Kim Gordon in 2 minutes from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom. Okay, it's a Rokan show with Anna Duplantis on 720 WGN.
Yes.
I find this very interesting.
Yeah, I do too.
That our medical director, Dr. Jim Adams, who also is the chief medical officer and senior vice president of Northwestern Medicine.
Kind of a big deal.
Yeah, but I think the more important title he has is medical director for the Rokan show with Anna Duplantis. Unpaid
We'd
position, as he knows. And I find it really interesting that he's no longer coming in studio. He's just on the phone, which tells me he's like all of the doctors in my life who have said, listen, we can't have you here anymore. You, if you have a problem, call the office and we will, you know, we'll figure something out.
Are you avoiding us, Dr. Jim?
Well, I just know to not bring my prescription pad when I come in to visit there.
Yes, exactly. Right, exactly. Or your stethoscope or any other kind of thing. Or sometimes I'll just take my shirt off and go, does this look funny to you?
Can you check this out?
Right, it gets very, very weird. All right, well, first of all, let's talk about something serious here, because this story has been pounding away now for about 6 weeks. The measles outbreaks, you've had some on the West Coast. One of the places that the people are concerned about is in the Midwest, in the Chicago area, big metropolitan areas, because there's people traveling through, right? Airports seem to be affected by this. Now, I think one of the things that I never hear presented at the top of the telling of this story about measles outbreaks is that if you have been vaccinated, then you have little to worry about, right?
Right. Very little to worry about. But now we don't know everybody's immunity. The vaccine's good, but even if you've been vaccinated, you still have a few percent chance of getting it. So we need 95% of people to be vaccinated to really prevent any kind of outbreak from coming.
What do we think we are at now? Do we know?
So I don't know. Now, there's higher levels of immunization in Chicago. I don't know statistically, but we're not at 95%. The schools are getting much more rigorous about this now and eliminating exemptions for measles and for other vaccinations. So they're demanding it, and that's going to help a lot.
You saw there's a statement from the city saying that exposures may have occurred at O'Hare. They mentioned the UIC campus, Millennium Park. When you hear something like that, what does that mean, exposures may have occurred?
Well, we had a measles case diagnosed, the first one this year recently, and when the measles comes into Chicago, it's probably going to come through O'Hare, especially an unvaccinated traveler or a traveler from another country or somebody who visits another country where measles is far more common. Coming through on a plane through O'Hare, taking the subway downtown, Millennium Park to college, the measles is one of the most infectious viruses known. If they pass by an uninfected person, 90% likelihood. It's one of the rare viruses that hangs in the air. Mm-hmm. So we really are concerned that people can catch the measles.
If you just pass by someone at Millennium Park, is that what you're saying?
Yeah, right. Yeah, if they're actively shedding virus and you just pass by them, you actually can get the measles. Unlike the flu, or other viruses, it's harder to get.
So people are wondering this. If you got vaccinated when you were a little kid and now you're 40 or 50 or 54 years old and 11 months, is that immunity hold or do you have to have a booster? What goes on there?
Well, most of the time it's good. If you've had two vaccinations, it's good. Now, I was born in 1962 and people in the 60s, a lot of times we just got one and not two, so you should talk to the doctor. You might need a booster. Or you can just have a blood test and check your immunity levels. Just you talk to your doctor about it. But people that have had two are generally pretty good.
Yeah, but it's hard to remember, you know, because when you're a little kid, you get them. You don't know what you're actually getting. You just know you don't like it. And then, you find out later. I remember there was a measles outbreak in the 90s, and there was, and my daughter was, you know, in that. You know, she had to go make sure she got it boosted. She got the initial one when she was, I get that MMR or whatever it was, when you're like four. And then they were like, well, come back in because you just never know. And it truly is important because people don't get this. And the anti-vax movement, first of all, beyond being the morons that they are, dangerous morons that they are, and that's me speaking, doctor, this whole thing that went on the internet about how, well, you know, look what they did on the Brady Bunch when, you know, if you're going to get, you know, you're going to get the measles, then you just go to a measles party. Well, first of all, people always confuse measles and chickenpox. Totally different diseases. Chickenpox would be really bad for you, too. But measles is deadly, potentially.
Yeah. Yeah, and chickenpox in adults can be deadly too. And then if you have the immunization to chickenpox, you're kind of good. But if you actually get the chickenpox, it settles in your nerve, and it can break out later as as zoster and things. So it's really best to get the immunizations. That's the safest and best way. I wouldn't put the kids at risk by going to the chickenpox parties or measles parties. Just get the immunizations.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just, and again, it's a lung borne illness, measles. It's not it does erupt on the skin, but that's the secondary thing that's going on with it. I mean, it really is something to be, with all the medical advancement that's gone on here, and then people want to, stick their head in the sand because they just don't like the idea of needles. I honestly believe that is what drives 90% of the anti-vax movement, is that people are afraid of needles and they're trying to come up with an excuse to not, have needles. And I know there are people who, there are kids who get immunized and then they have bad reactions to it, or then later on, within a year or two, they're diagnosed with, whether it's autism, but that is not related. That's the crazy thing about it, is you're just, by the time you're vaccinated, that's the same age group that within a year or two, you're going to start to see the signs of other kinds of things. And that's, correlation is not causation. And it drives me nuts when people confuse those two things. But then again, a lot of things drive me nuts. Doctor, I'd like to talk to you about that too. Get your pad out.
Separate issue.
On the issue of apps, I saw this story and I love this story and I think at Northwestern Medicine, your medical staff there sees this. People come in to see their primary care physician, and they unfortunately have gone to a lot of different websites, some better than others, about whether they have symptoms or they've just decided. Because no matter what, you put symptoms into Google, and look out!
You never know.
It always ends with toenail cancer, no matter what it is, right? So the question is, are there apps that are better than others that people can check if they, want to check on their own medicine, their own health?
Well, first, I wanted to agree with you about Googling symptoms, because I work in the emergency department. I'm an emergency doctor, and people Google their symptoms all the time and then come in emergency because it's always super scary. So that is very, very common and very worrisome. But there is emerging telemedicine technology, teledermatology, other kind of telemedicine, that responsible physician groups, responsible insurers are providing to patients, especially patients that live long distance, say from a dermatologist, where they can actually get care. And when it's conducted responsibly, it's a really affordable way to get improved access.
Yeah, that's good. Because that's a very good idea. And that's where people, you go to all the websites that I traffic, and they'll show you pictures of something, and you're like, oh, that looks exactly like what it is, but it isn't. The thing is that there's a big difference. I mean, trained medical professionals, when they look at something, they can tell, in a three-dimensional way what's going on that you can't get from just a picture.
It's very hard. It takes years and years and years, and artificial intelligence is doing good. But there's also a caution, too, because you do want somebody responsible on the other end of that. And it's ideal if they're monitoring you for the improvement or your response to therapy for eczema treatment or response to therapy for acne. But if you're worried about malignant melanoma, those teledermatology apps, it's great to have access. But if somebody's worried, go see somebody in person. Sometimes you have to get biopsied. Sometimes it's different. So these supportive tools are great, but they're not perfect yet. They're really new.
Yeah. Dr. Jim, you find that most patients in emergency rooms are good at self-reporting, kind of letting the doctor know the info or the data that you need in order to help treat them? Is that a problem?
Patients are, first, they're wonderful, but the best way to interact with a doctor is just talk about what you're feeling, what you're experiencing. When patients come to a conclusion or try to diagnose too much, then that's actually not helpful, and they could actually steer doctors kind of in a wrong direction. But the symptoms and the questions are fabulous. That's the way to go.
All right. Dr. Jim, thank you very much for being with us. Jim Adams, Chief Medical Officer and SVP, Northwestern medicine, mm-hmm. and I, and most importantly, the medical director of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis, and yep. he, like my primary care physician, has just recently changed his cell phone number so that I can
no longer
get a hold of him.
Isn't that weird?
Yeah. All right, thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
That's right. That's why he's not here, because he doesn't, and he doesn't. And
he, I know.
And
he likes us. It's just that he's not here today.
He blocked his number so that when he calls, you're like, hey, what? If this is like a fake number. Do you ever see those numbers that are like 000-000-000-000? That's his number. And I keep trying to call
him. How do you call him back?
Yeah, it's weird. I can't do it.
The good old 555 trick.
Yes. I know. My guess is you've employed that a few times in your life. All right, Lauren Lapka's got the traffic in just a second, but first, what's going on in the newsroom?
Rogue Congress briefed today on the increased tensions between the U.S. and Iran.
Traffic being brought to you by Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Rogue Con Show, Anna DeVlantis, 720. Yes. WGN. Coming up, Stories of Matter with Kim Gordon from the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. Kev, what would you say to that?
That would be a go cat situation.
Go cats. That's exactly what it is. It's a go cat situation. Coming up in the 5 o'clock hour, we have a top 5 at 5. Also, the Bears top 100. They went 51-75 today. The now we know the top 50 Bears of all times. And our own OB made it. Into that,
nice.
I would say the 52-100 top,
mm-hmm.
so the top half of the
right. Over the next couple of days, they're going to reveal what in 25 group increments
tomorrow, and then Thursday it'll be the full 100
top 25
top 25 right. So some interesting choices in those. We have our own thoughts, but also there's a Johnny Depp story. This is just breaking now.
Tragic
to God. And I don't know why it's breaking now, because he and Amber Heard have been apart for a number of years now, I think, like 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
And, he's spilling the tea, as the kids like to say. So I think you're going to want to stay tuned for what tea actually has been spilled here, because it's
a lot of it.
Yeah, there's a lot of it, and it's weird tea. Well, if it's Johnny Depp, it's going to be weird. So the news coming your way in 2 minutes. Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis on 720 WGN, a top 5 at 5 here. Then Johnny Depp has a story to tell.
Boy, does he ever.
Started telling a story today that I thought, was this like a story from 2 years ago? No. No. It's
nope.
A brand new story. And he's spoiler alert, he's still mad at Amber Heard.
And he actually contracted MRSA because of her. So there, that happened, he says. I don't understand any of it.
Really, quite honestly, I don't understand any of it either. But I'll tell you the story of me and Amber and the MRSA and the glass of vodka coming up after 5:40.
Yeah. A hurled bottle of vodka started it all.
Spoiler alert.
All right. Let us now do this.
It's the top 5 on the Rokan Show.
5.
Let's go.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Now, it's the top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Sponsored by the Hip and Knee Center, where they help you feel new again.
Ready?
Yes.
Yes.
Get on with it.
Yeah. Checking in at
number 5.
All right. House Judiciary Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler. He's very upset. He promised that he's going to go to the mattresses here, to the courts, if that's what it takes to get Don McGahn to testify about the Robert Mueller report. Don McGahn, as people remember, was White House counsel.
When this committee issues a subpoena, even to a senior presidential advisor, the witness must show up. Our subpoenas are not optional. Mr. McGahn has a legal obligation to be here for this scheduled appearance. If he does not immediately correct his mistake, this committee will have no choice but to enforce the subpoena against him.
They're going to take the guy away in handcuffs. I mean, it's like, and here's what you got to do. This is the damnedest thing. Like in Congress, it's not like you call the Department of Justice and then they, you know, they go out and have the FBI wrap them up.
Mm-hmm.
You got to get the sergeant at arms.
Oh, gosh.
To like, you know, who, I don't know if he wears, he looks like Captain Kangaroo when he's in his full uniform. And he's got to go out, right? In like in a clown car or something. Oh, gosh. And go pick him up. And then they got, and I don't even know who the, you know, who does he have that he goes out there with? And they take the Capitol Police and arrest a guy? I don't know. Or is it just a bunch of other guys?
Did they get, like, get handcuffed and
I don't know.
They're
just to bring them in. I think the last time this happened was in the 1790s, and I think they had they put a guy in ropes and they dragged him in. I don't know. I don't know what they do. The problem here is there's really no good answer. This doesn't happen. This doesn't actually ever happen when Congress sends somebody a subpoena and says, you got to show up. They show up. Even, you know, baseball players. Was it Clemens? Who was it? The Roger Clemens?
Rafael Palmeiro, a bunch of them.
Yeah. Right, he got up there. Didn't Clemens? Who was the guy who ended up going to jail for a little while because he lied?
None of the players. It was all the guys who were supplying the stuff.
Yeah.
Balco thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, if those guys showed up, why can't a guy who was like the
and some
the
of them
White
all
House counsel
forgot how to speak English?
Oh, right. I
it's
remember
like, hey,
that.
What?
Didn't you give interviews in English before?
I saw you in media scrums talking just fine.
Nothing.
Right.
Nothing. Senator Nothing.
What's that? I can't remember the whole. Sammy Sosa might have done that.
Oh, he did a lot of things.
Nothing. No, speak English.
Right.
No, I got, hello. I'm so stupid. I can't remember. Right.
I swear that happened. I can't remember exactly
what
it
was. Tom McGann should do.
Yeah.
Oh, this is fulfillment. I cannot remember anything. Anything going on here? It's gone. It's the shoes. All right. The committee held a brief empty chair hearing without McGann today. I love when they do this because that makes them look like a bunch of clowns, too. Why are they doing that? That's, I guess, so that we'll play it on the top five at five.
President Trump may think he can hide behind his lawyers as he launches a series of baseless legal arguments designed to obstruct our work. He cannot think these legal arguments will prevail in court, but he can think he can slow us down and run out the clock on the American people. Let me be clear. This committee will hear Mr. McGann's testimony, even if we have to go to court to secure it. We will not allow the president to prevent the American people from hearing from this witness. We will not allow the president to block congressional subpoenas, putting himself and his allies above the law.
You know, here's something, Jerry. Why don't you memorize it and perform it instead of read it?
He did read every single word looking down.
Right. How about that? Not like, you know, your staffers just handed you a piece of paper and now it's time to go to have lunch.
Right.
This is
wedge it in between your lunch and right. Your breakfast meetings.
Yes. You got, if you want to really win the hearts and minds of the American people, be passionate about it. Not read it like you're reading the instructions for an IKEA piece of furniture.
Your nerdy professor reading the syllabus on day one. Right. You're like, what is this guy saying?
Like
nobody cares,
me.
Man. I'm already checked out for the semester after this.
Yeah, it's true.
Flap A into slot B. Turn widget 2 turns to left. Got it. Checking in at
number 4.
Now, REO is a real estate owned. REO refers to real estate owned, and that's it's a term of art in banking and in government. So if it's a piece of real estate owned by a lender, a bank, after foreclosure, and REO is a kind of it's a term, right, that is important to know if, let's say, you're in the housing industry or in the banking industry. An REO is a cookie.
That's right.
Right?
I know that one.
So you got a REO and an OREO. Now, the problem here, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is that at a service, at a financial services committee hearing in Congress today, the Secretary of Housing and Urban Development, Ben Carson, remember that?
Sure.
Like, now all of a sudden you're like, wait, is he? He still is? He's like the longest serving member of the cabinet at this point.
Probably because he's not making that much news other than today.
Well, today he did.
Today he did.
Today he did because he was talking to a congresswoman from California, and she was attempting to ask the secretary about disparities in RIO rates.
As you look it up, I'd also like you to get back to me, if you don't mind, to explain the disparity in REO rates. Do you know what an REO is?
An Oreo?
R? No, not an Oreo. An R-E-O. R-E-O.
Real estate?
What's the O stand for?
E-organization.
Owned. Real estate owned. That's what happens when a property goes to foreclosure. We call it an REO. Mm-hmm. And FHA loans have much higher REOs. That is, they go to foreclosure rather than to loss mitigation.
There you go.
That was a moment. I mean, he is a brain surgeon, though. I mean, he knows a lot of things, right?
It's true. The only time you could go, this guy's a moron. No, he's a brain surgeon. It's not like he's a brain surgeon.
Rocket science. Or...
Yeah. He just isn't. He's just, you know, this was not what he was supposed to do. But Donald Trump, and I know you're going to find this hard to believe, it might just be a little bit of typecasting here, thought, all right, black guy should do housing and urban development.
I got the perfect thing for you, man.
Right. He couldn't have made him the Surgeon General, right? He didn't want to do that because he needed his own doctor to be the Surgeon General.
Health and Human Services?
Right. Or Health and Human Services. No. Mm-mm. Housing and Urban Development. You're black. You get it.
Urban.
You grew up in a housing project, right?
It's like Michael in The Office picking Stanley to play on the basketball team. He couldn't even dribble the basketball.
Right. That's exactly what it's like. Yes.
An Oreo?
R? No, not an Oreo. An R.
Guess it should have been the FDA then.
Right. FDA. Something like that.
Yeah.
Is there a Secretary of Brain Surgery? Whatever you can get. That would have made more sense. Oh, God. Seriously, what am I going to do with the guy? He was very loyal. He ran for president. I ran over him with a car, and he said I was okay. So also last night, you know, the president was at one of these big rallies in Pennsylvania, right? It's in some town I'd never heard of in Pennsylvania, which is where a lot of these rallies take place.
Like,
some town you no one's ever heard of. They're not in Philadelphia, Pittsburgh. I've heard of those towns. This complaint last night was about Fox doing the town hall with Pete Buttigieg.
Last night I watched Alfred E. Newman. What's going on with Fox, by the way? What's going on there? They're putting more Democrats on than you have Republicans. It's something strange is going on at Fox. Oh, something very strange. Did you see this guy last night? I did want to watch. You always have to watch the competition, if you call it that. And he was knocking the hell out of Fox, and Fox has put him in. Somebody's going to have to explain the whole Fox deal to me.
He was very upset about that.
The whole Fox deal is it's a news channel. That's what. Explain what the Fox deal is. And it does. Like, the morning show, they love you. But, you know, there are going to be other shows, and everybody's going to love everybody.
And then isn't there's the opinion people, like Hannity and Laura Ingraham, who were called out by Mayor Pete, who do love the president as well. But they're the opinion hosts. And this was the news part of the channel. Chris Wallace is an excellent reporter, excellent interviewer.
And Pete Buttigieg is running for president, and he's gotten some traction. Right? I mean, in 2016, it's like if CNN had not put Donald Trump on because he was, no one ever took him seriously. Right?
But instead, you're having a situation where the Democratic candidates are saying they don't want to appear on Fox town halls. Kamala Harris, Elizabeth Warren, they won't appear. They think that that's not a place that they should appear.
Them. That's up to them.
I just
them
think
to
it might not be
a
right choice.
No, but look, it rattles him. Look how much it irritated him.
Yeah.
That got to Trump a little bit.
Wait a second.
That is the right
You're
point.
My team.
Right.
It's like he's mad. Right. He's mad at his girlfriend for talking to another guy at the bar.
Yeah.
Is basically what's happening there. How dare you? Get in the car. We're leaving.
Get in the car.
I don't want to go. I like him. He's a quarterback. I don't care. I'm president. All right, we'll get to your 3, 2, 1. But first, Cam, what's happening?
A Chicago public school teacher was carjacked this morning in her school's parking lot.
40 years after an airliner crashed upon takeoff at O'Hare, finally a place to remember Flight 191 and those who died. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
An Oreo.
No, not an Oreo. An R-E-O.
Same thing.
I just had another thought of what he might have been hearing there at the time. I'm thinking, oh no. Oh, that could have gotten really ugly. All right. I'm done. I'm moving on.
Number 3.
Roseanne Barr's plan to stay out of more trouble on Twitter is not working. You know, she deactivated her account, but what she's also been doing is creating secret burner accounts where she can tweet her mind freely and then hoping that she just can do it and then get out of the way. Well, TMZ caught up with her at an airport, of course, and
Twitter got you in a lot of trouble.
Yeah.
Have you rethought in the last year and a half, are you rethinking about how you're going to use it? Maybe you're going to have somebody that monitors how you use it, you know?
No, I just...
Or maybe a 10-minute buffer before you could tweet anything?
No, I have a lot of, troll accounts. So I say what I want under anonymous names.
So that's how you get it out really without getting yourself in trouble and you use a troll account?
Yeah.
Okay.
And I say the stuff I want to say.
Do you do all the tweeting on those accounts or does somebody else do it?
I do it all. I think everybody's got troll backup accounts, really, if you want to say anything.
That's what we all do, right?
Yeah,
we
sure.
all have troll backup accounts because that's what
I troll in my part, like in my downtime, right?
Right.
You?
What else you want to do? You want to tell everybody what an a-hole they are on Twitter? That's what you do.
She used to just do that on her regular handle, but I guess she can't get away with that anymore. I wonder how many she has then.
I know. And what are the names of the Twitter accounts too? And I would love to know that.
I do love that people are proud of being trolls.
Right.
I love being a troll.
And this is the armpit of America here. These are the Reddit people, the underground weirdos.
Mm-hmm. 4chan.
4chan.
She has 1 million followers on her normal Twitter handle.
Yeah.
I wonder what she's got on her troll.
I want to see what she said on her troll accounts.
Oh God.
Some serious venting from Roseanne.
Yeah. Oh God. Oh God. All right. Again, I mean, she made millions of dollars.
What are you doing?
Right? And now
she made millions more.
And now she just wants to troll. It's more important to be an internet troll. That's what all the kids should aspire to that one day.
Number 2.
Celine Dion was on a special carpool karaoke last night on The Late Late Show as a primetime version of it. And Corden made her sing the popular children's song, Baby Shark.
Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark.
I thought we were gonna get a chest bump there.
Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do 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 do. Baby shark, do do.
That is an incredible version of Baby Shark that I don't think anyone will ever forget.
Oh, sweet.
Okay,
that's cool. She did it. Hey. Beautiful voice.
And finally,
number 1.
Speaking of late night, Jimmy Kimmel had some ideas about a new crossover show for Game of Thrones. What if the cast of Full House adopted Jaime Lannister?
Hey, Uncle Jaime. What's up, bud?
Well, it's my sister. We're in a fight.
Ah, of course. Jaime, sometimes siblings fight. It's perfectly natural. But you gotta work this out. She's your sister, and she'll always be there for you, no matter what.
No, it's just, I got her pregnant again.
Yeah, well, good talk, man.
I know. Cut it out.
No, I was gonna say, quit f***ing your sister.
And we'll just leave it right there.
The top 5 at 5.
Much to get to here on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis before we're out of here at 6:30 tonight.
Yep.
White Sox baseball. All right.
Including news about our second favorite person from Kentucky. Kim being the first.
Correct.
Kim technically would be our first. Although, I will say this, that she has lost some points in the last couple of weeks.
Why?
Because of the Packer thing.
Oh, come on.
You lost points.
She came pre-Packer fan.
That's right. I had no choice. I married a man from Green Bay. What am I going to do?
I wouldn't have married him if I were you.
Oh, my God.
You met him. You know he's the nicest guy in the world.
Great guy. I do love when Kim's inner Kentucky comes out. Like, I was talking about the skunk problem. She's like, we just shoot him down in Kentucky, damn it. I can loan you my shotgun if you need it.
They're good eating. They're good.
Throw him on the grill.
Goes in burgoo.
That's right. You got to make it burgoo. You can make a real good burgoo with it, too. What you got to do, you got to make sure you get that stink sack out of there, though, right? Because, you puncture that stink sack while you're gutting it, you're going to have troubles.
You got to skin that varmint.
You got to skin it. You got to make sure to get that out there.
Do I want to know what vermoo is? I don't know what
burgoo.
Burgoo.
Yeah, that's a specific Kentucky thing.
It's
right?
A stew that has every disgusting meat in the world in it, like squirrel, possum, name it, they throw it in there with vegetables, but
good eating.
Yeah. Delicious. Little cornbread on the side.
Now you see that the greasier the varmint, the better the burgoo is.
Okay, that's gross.
You got to boil the animal for about 3 weeks. But
oh, no, you just go trap them, skin them, throw them in.
You're about 20 minutes in, you're pretty good. Start eating.
Can you slow cook them? I'm just kidding. I don't know anymore.
Does every
about that.
Part go in, like even the legs?
Oh, jeez.
Of course.
The head, the eyeball.
Nothing goes to waste.
Do you have any cousins, your distant Kentucky cousins came that can come over and get rid of my skunks?
I bet you I could
fly him up here.
I bet you I could take care of that for you. I got a guy.
We're going way up north to Wheeling, Illinois, wherever the hell is that, Canada?
Illinois.
I'm going to tell you something. There's nothing better than skunk eyeballs. So I tell you, can't you get that in a fricassee? That's good eating. All right.
Gosh.
I got it. Our other favorite Kentuckian, as you point out, is finding himself in a little, it's kind of an interesting situation that Johnny Depp has found himself, and he always finds himself in something. So now, you know, here's the crazy thing. After a long period of time here, like in August of 2016, they were divorced. So it's been 2 years already.
It's been that long, but I think the defamation suits are now still underway. This is a part of that.
And what he said at the end of his marriage, and I don't know if this was agreed upon by the lawyers, but he said, relationship was intensely passionate and at times volatile, but always bound by love and sometimes by handcuffs. Hmm. Now, in March, Depp filed a civil lawsuit against Amber Heard, seeking $50 million and accusing her of defaming him by setting herself up as a domestic abuse victim. She shot back, filing more than 300 pages of documents, right? And then saying that that he had been, it was fueled by drugs and alcohol, and he would hit and punch and kick, and he was just a bad guy. And she submitted photos of herself with puffy eyes, black eye scratches, things like that. Now,
I remember those.
Right?
They
remember that was that whole
news,
thing?
And she was claiming domestic violence and abuse, Me Too.
And he was his lawyers, who I think have yet to have been paid, were arguing that this was just her trying to pressure him into a posting up. It's bad enough that you get the prenup. If you can't get the prenup done, you can get a posting up, and then the posting up was it's a divorce. It's like a redo of the divorce settlement.
I don't know if I understand that.
So
I thought they were still married when he asked for a postnup agreement with her. And then she got really raging angry, according to Johnny Depp, and started throwing stuff at him, like a vodka bottle.
Depp's lawyer, Adam Waldman. Adam Waldman for Mr. Depp, for the defendant, Your Honor, said in a statement that this utterly destroys each of Amber Heard's abuse hoaxes and shows that she is a serial abuser of men. And also, I might point out, a complete shrew.
It's a word that we use quite a bit in Kentucky. Right after we have the bagoo, which is quite good eating.
Now, the actor's lawsuit has already called Heard's allegations false, right? An elaborate hoax. But he also says that she is responsible for horrific acts of violence and other abuse. Now, he claims, and this is where it gets good. He claims that during a fight, that Amber actually threw a vodka glass at him, and it cut him on his finger.
Is it short or tall glass?
It severed part of his finger, and he had to have three surgeries and move flesh onto the finger in order to recreate it.
All right. Would you take a look at the end of my finger? You'll notice this is my middle finger.
Mm-hmm. You use that one a lot?
It renders me actually moot if I don't actually have my finger up at any given time. It took the entire top phalange right off.
Very specific.
And so then what we had to do, although they were able to, because I went to the finest surgeons around the world and they were able to save the fingernail. It's a very important part of the finger. Because if you don't have the nail, where do you put the polish?
True. Or the little grit for when he plays the Pirates of Caribbean character. You have to get him really gritted up.
Now, I do know that they're good in CGI-ing a new finger for me, but we chose not to go that route, and I had the best surgeons around the world, and they worked perfectly to replace my finger with a finger of a small Asian boy.
What? How did that fit into the whole narrative?
What? What did you say?
Forget the Asian part.
He has the finger of a small Asian boy? What was that?
Can you repeat that, Mr. Depp?
It's not the entire finger. It's just the top phalange. It's actually just even the pad, which is quite good news, because if, in fact, I ever do become an international jewel thief, they will have to arrest the Asian boy.
Well, I mean, how does it affect your sauvage ads? You get in those, you kind of show fingers.
Yeah, how are you digging a hole with that? I feel like that's going to impact your digging ability.
Little Wang Ding is really in a lot of trouble. Things that...
He says, this is his words.
Yes, it would be helpful if you continue
to conceal the fact that her domestic violence against me caused me grievous bodily injury. Yeah. Miss Heard has concocted various shifting false stories claiming I cut off my own finger.
Who would do something like that? Unless you've already cut a deal with a little Asian boy for his fingers. And I'm not saying that I did or I didn't. I'm just saying that if you'd already done it, then it would be easier to cut off your own finger. But if it comes as quite a surprise that your finger's being cut off by a flying vodka glass, then that's a totally different situation, isn't it?
That's some serious precision, though, with a vodka glass.
Yeah. Well, apparently it shattered, according to the accounts.
Yes, exactly.
On the finger? And a piece of it struck his finger like going...
At least 250 miles an hour, according to the radar gun that I had installed in the home.
So, and he says that she came up with various media reports to talk about how he punched a hole in the wall, and that's how he hit his finger. He did other things. He, like, smashed a cell phone, and he hurt his finger. And he's saying the real story is she was abusing him.
That's why I actually had to buy six fingers for Wing Ding.
Vodka glass shattering finger injury or punching a wall injury.
Actually, I bought three fingers from Wang Ding, two fingers from his mother.
Just to be sure. I don't understand that piece. I really don't.
Explains the diamond wedding ring on one of them.
Yes, it does indeed.
The projectile's impact shattered the bone in my finger and entirely severed the tip of my finger. His filing goes on to say.
Yes, totally gone.
So he contracted MRSA is the other piece of this from said finger injury.
What?
Ended up in the hospital.
The hits just keep going.
The first surgery didn't go particularly well because we were doing it in Phuket.
Wait, things finger didn't take?
Didn't exactly take, because, you know, that the Thai doctor is not quite as great as the surgeons in Paris. Kentucky, which is where I'm from.
Mm-hmm. Contracted MRSA 3 times, according to the filing.
1, 2, and 3, although you have to go with 2, because I can't get the third finger up.
Oh, God.
It caused him to miss a lot of the, like, several weeks of filming for Pirates of the Caribbean 17 or something. And so he had to like, take off and go deal with it. And this is what happened. It just the story keeps shifting because at the time they said it was an onset injury.
That's right. That was Pirates of the Caribbean 16, Search for the Lost Paycheck. All right. Well, I always have to wish him the best of luck. But now,
it used to be one of my favorites.
When you look at him now, just always look at his hand to see the little infantile ends of his fingers that are just a little different than the rest of his finger, a little younger. All right.
Poor Johnny. Yeah. He's going through a rough patch.
Why does he have to? I mean, can these two just let each other go? Move on? Didn't she get married to some other dude or something?
She's been with the Tesla guy, right?
Right, Elon Musk. Although that didn't work out. Elon Musk tried to shoot himself into space to avoid her at some point. Remember that? It was like he was so heartbroken by her because she what is she packing that all of a sudden, you know, these guys go completely nuts for her.
She recently stepped out with director Andy Muschietti.
What has he made? I mean, she is gorgeous.
It's actually true.
Just
I recall that. It's really not worth losing 3 fingers about. Well, maybe it is.
Kind of regret the whole finger thing.
I don't really recall too much of it. Except I do recall this, that I have not made money in 2.5 years. He's in some other...
Yeah, Richard just told us about his...
He's in some other film, right? Isn't he in some... right now, he's just doing anything. Oh, The Professor, right? Where he plays a drunk, aging, now dying of cancer professor and doesn't care about the world. Now, where is he going to get that source material? All right. Well, we wish everybody the best of luck. Maybe not Amber. I don't know.
Amber seems to be doing okay.
Yeah, she does.
Suppose Johnny.
Yeah, she seems to always find her way.
Just worried about the little boy who lost 3 fingers.
He was very well compensated, Kevin. Good. No concerns. He can buy himself 3 or 4 more hands if he'd like.
All right, let's check in now with Kim. What's coming up at the top of the hour?
Dozens of tornadoes causing injuries and damage across the Midwest.
All right, coming up. Kim Gordon is in the Northwestern Medicine Newsroom on WGN Radio. It's the important thing. And then in the 6 o'clock hour, we're going to save your life from something, it says here. Hold on.
Yeah, it's a special
Airbnb
report.
Horror stories.
Oh, I know. This will be interesting because Jason Knowles is getting to the bottom of this from ABC7. And he always lets us in on what's really going on.
Yeah.
I've had good experiences with Airbnbs, knock on wood.
Yeah, but I think this is more like what happens when you Airbnb your own place.
Oh.
So we'll find out. Well, both ways. I think it probably goes both ways. Well, you know what? I don't want to make things up. I'll let him tell the story. Don't waste 4 months of your life overpaying for poor-performing razors. Invest that time with Harry's quality shaving supplies at a fair price. Vibrating heads and flex balls and handles that look like a prop in a sci-fi movie. That is just a tactic to get you to overpay. Harry's believes in their products so much that they're going to give you your money back if you don't love your shave. That's a 100% quality guarantee. For a limited time only, Harry's has a special offer just for you. New customers get $5 off a trial set from Harry's using my name, Roe, R-O-E, at checkout. So you get the razor, weighted handle, foaming shave gel, and travel cover, right? That's your introductory offer. Click on that. Then go to checkout in the promo box, type in my name, Roe, R-O-E, and you get the whole shooting match right there for just $3 plus free shipping and handling. How crazy great is that? Join the 10 million people who have already tried Harry's. Use my name, Roe, R-O-E, at checkout. Go to harrys.com. Tell them I sent you.
Turn on the next fireworks.
Game 2 in Houston. It's the White Sox and the Astros.
The Rokan Show with Anna de Blasio right here on 720 WGN. Yes. All right, Jason Knowles, our buddies, just pulled into the studio from ABC 7. In full stage makeup, but who's counting?
Well, the TV lights are really strong. You got to make sure you show up.
Right. Well, I come in
and
here
you know that too.
Full TV makeup all the time. All right. This is a story about Airbnb horror stories or you know, these kinds of this, not just Airbnb. There's VRBO and, you know, the rest of those kinds.
There's a ton of home sharing.
Service home share scares.
Mm-hmm.
Home share scares.
Yeah. And there are so many of them now, right?
Yeah, they're everywhere. I mean, there's a million different brands, and there's a lot of things that can go wrong.
Okay, so is this mostly about the consumer showing up and it doesn't look like the pictures, or what the consumer's doing to these people's homes?
That's a whole other story about what the consumers are doing to these people's homes, which we should do as well, because mm-hmm. I've heard those horror stories.
Right. Throw huge parties.
Part two.
Trash the place.
Right. So this story is about a lot of people not getting what they expected when they show up at their home.
All right.
No matter what service they book through, or how you can find hidden cameras in your home share.
Ooh.
And then we are looking specifically into one case where one woman put up her own camera in own Airbnb. Her own home share space.
Yeah.
And she expected privacy because it's a private area, a basement unit, but it has its own door. And what she discovered on that camera made her very worried and scared. She says it was creepy.
What is
according
creepy?
To police.
Go back and explain that. Start that over again.
So according to she put up her own camera in
now
her
she
own.
Owns the she owns this.
No, this space. Is she's the customer.
All right.
So she rented it.
Right.
She and then put up it. Her own camera.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. let me take a step back.
Yes.
Sorry.
That was a little confusing. And so now why would she do that?
So she's a customer of the home share. She is a traveling nurse from the Chicago area.
All right.
She went to Virginia.
Okay.
And she has this home share space, and she expects privacy. It's a basement with its own entrance and exit.
Got it.
And you cannot get up into the upstairs area unless an alarm sounds off. So it's basically like an apartment.
Okay.
And she felt a little uncomfortable. She didn't like where some of the other cameras were in the unit that were actually disclosed. So what she did is she put up her own camera, her own Nest camera in the common space. And she caught the host entering into her private space when she was gone. And according to police and according to the video, he had his hand down his pants for 16 seconds.
Oh, jeez.
About right.
Right. Now, he's claiming that he had an itch, according to the police
report.
Why
was he in her private space,
but
though?
But I think the whole thing is,
right.
Like, why was he there was the bigger question, and that he shouldn't have been there, because it would just be like the same thing if your landlord walked into your apartment and was walking around and creeping around. You wouldn't like that.
Yeah. Now, I think this is the problem that we have now with this great revolution of
cameras.
Everybody gets to do whatever they want to do, right? This is the because of the digital revolution, you no longer go to a hotel, you go to somebody else's house. This is a way that everybody can have like a side hustle kind of business, whether it's Uber not all individuals are created equal for this. People don't all have a passion for it. They just thought, "Oh, I got an extra room or I'm going to be out of town, I'm going to do this." And I'm totally freaked out. I don't like staying with other people ever under any circumstances, especially in-laws. My God. but you travel and go, "Oh, no, stay at our house." I'm like, "I got a hotel."
Right. I prefer
unless you're Jed Clampett,
hotel,
I'm
usually.
Not staying at your hotel at your house. Like, you got to have a wing. You have to have like a separate
wing.
Private space.
Maybe a guest house, you know. That's
Where are you staying?
But at least your in-laws won't put up their own cameras.
Oh, no. Trust me, I'm no longer anybody's in-law, so that's how that worked out.
Well, what are the rules about cameras? Did they have to disclose them?
Yeah, and this is the second part of the story. So what if your Airbnb or your home share, any home share, has cameras in the unit and that you don't know about? Well, Airbnb does allow the host to put up cameras in common spaces if they disclose that on the ad.
Right.
So you can't have it in the area where you first walk in or the living room, but it has to be disclosed. You cannot have them in bedrooms or bathrooms, and you certainly can't have hidden cameras.
That takes all the fun out of Airbnb, doesn't it?
We've seen those cases, too.
But we're
going
to tell you
cameras.
How to spot them, too.
Is that 10 o'clock tonight?
That's a 10, yeah.
10 o'clock tonight, ABC 7.
So, yeah, how to spot these hidden cameras and this woman's really strange story, the twist on how she put up her own camera.
So did she get, well, you want to tell us everything, but I hope that she was like, did she just leave after this discovery?
I'd be
freaked out by it.
She left. She was refunded.
Mm-hmm.
And the home share site did take the guy off the platform.
Okay, that was good of them. All right, so let me just tell you a little story for your part two. This will be good for, if not July, definitely November.
Hmm.
You need to know this about the Rokon Show with Anna DeVlantis. We have an incredibly gifted staff of people who work on and off the air here. And one of our guys who was basically the heart and soul of this product, he also has a side hustle as an expert and broadcaster in the adult entertainment industry.
Oh, wow.
Many talents.
Yes. He often goes to the, whatever it's called, the porn show or whatever, the AVN Awards in Las Vegas. That's like his, and he does podcasts there and this whole thing. If you've heard the Sean Green show on WGNRadio.com, you know what we're talking about here. And see, at WGNRadio.com, I'm just going to tell you this right now. I am so glad that Ward Qual and that Wally and some of these other legends didn't have to be alive for this moment of WGN that we got like a porn show on.
And that's his side hustle.
That's a side hustle. Anyway, the point is that at the most recent AVN Awards, which was a couple months ago, he was in Las Vegas and a production team said, hey, do you want to, stop by a shoot that we're doing? And what they'd done is they'd Airbnb'd a house in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just this crew. There were three separate production crews
and they were
using
shooting
the same house.
Porn
shooting
videos.
Porn videos, yes.
And so if you own that house, you are probably pretty disgusted.
I'm calling Green Tea Services immediately.
A power wash.
Nice plug. That's unbelievable. I have heard that story before, though. That people will just do all kinds of things. They rent a place.
Right.
They have a party. They trash the house.
They trash it.
They have shoot a video, whatever it is. Yeah. So the other side of it is kind of scary as well.
This is the new world we live in with home share, with ride share. The drivers are angry. The customers are angry.
Right.
The homeowners are
angry. We're all mad at each other now.
It's weird that woman brought a camera, but now I'm feeling like it should be actually standard to bring a camera
renting
one.
Who would have thought? I would not have thought to have my own camera in a home share.
But I guess she's on the road a lot. She's a traveling nurse. She probably just wants it for security, and I don't blame
her.
She's
a single woman.
Right. I need one of those.
She wants to be safe. And then the other issue is you get to the place and you aren't getting what you expected. The pictures are totally different.
Oh, that happens. That does. Although the reviews sort of help, don't they? I mean, how many people can you get to fake review and not have a single bad one? I mean, it just...
Well, they do help. We talked to a couple from another site that went and discovered that they didn't have half the furniture. They said the place was a dump. There were feral cats.
So something's unmentioned.
So yeah, they were very disappointed when they arrived in Florida.
An elephant.
It's okay. It's in the backyard. It's not a big deal. Are you going to tell us how we can discover them, or do we have to watch you tonight on the ABC 7 News at 10?
One thing you could do is...
Oh, look at this. He's giving us a little hint.
I'm giving you the inside
tidbit.
Exclusive look. But I still want you to watch.
You
know what? The easiest thing to do is if you can connect with the person on the platform, not just on Airbnb, but or whatever platform, tell them you want to FaceTime the unit.
Tell me
that's what
FaceTime.
I would do.
Oh, you mean just check it out?
To verify that it is
that's
what
a great idea.
Yeah, why not,
get to see it, make sure everything seems like it is, and kind of surprise them with that call.
Although sometimes
say, hey, FaceTime me.
When you're on that site and you're looking at stuff, you're like, who would put this thing up, right? And depending on where it is, because there's always one that is great location, close to restaurants and parks, and then it's a daybed somewhere, like a half broken down daybed,
or like a room in the house with seven other roommates.
Yeah, and it's and you're like, oh, this is and then the bathroom is from 1956.
Rose is a very discriminating customer.
$112. That's why I need a wing. That's like if I'm going to stay in somebody else's house, I need the full freaking wing. I need the whole the deal. I need a butler. I need all that. Otherwise, I'm going to a hotel. I'm happy to go to a Holiday Inn. I don't want to, this is the thing. And then people go, oh, no, stay with me. No.
Now, would you do Would you ever do the Airbnb or a home share where like you were actually sharing with someone? I don't
like
think
common
I would do that
space.
One.
Right, I'm not
where
into
you
that.
Had the bedroom and they're still in the and then you're
gotta be the whole
the
apartment or the whole home.
There's too much random thing. There's you just don't know who it's going to be, right? You don't know who else you'd be sharing the communal space with.
Yeah, I think in that situation you're putting yourself
at risk. I don't like putting myself at risk.
But I do want to also mention really quickly that Airbnb says with more than 2 million guests checking into Airbnb in every single night, negative incidents are incredibly rare.
All right, we'll take their word for it.
Rob's not going to try that out.
We're going to go incredibly rare. Define incredibly rare to me. Yeah, okay. It is what it is. You see it. I mean, you can almost, when you're on the site, you can almost tell the creepy stuff, right? You can see.
There are some tip-offs, for sure.
Yeah. When you're sharing anything, these issues with privacy are going to come up. I mean, I don't think you're ever going to be able to stop it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, when it says room, not apartment, right? That's when you kind of know what it's going to be.
Do we allow Airbnbs here in Chicago now? Haven't they been cracking down on and trying to come up with rules and formal rules about how we're going to handle home sharing activities? And
they do allow them. And we actually did this story, too,
okay,
about a year or two ago.
Yeah.
They do allow them. The trick is it's usually the associations with your... Because most people want to go into condos or they want to go into an apartment. I mean, if you're going to go visit Chicago and the city and the lakefront. But a lot of the apartments have policies and tenants can be evicted, or the boards at these condominium associations say, no, we don't allow it. I think a lot of people just do it anyway.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But if you're caught, is it worth it?
Right.
Right. I don't know.
And do you want just, spare bedroom in, somebody's condominium? I'm very lonely.
Right.
Maybe
but I'm sure there's a lot of
like... 2 in the morning.
Knock, knock.
Oh, gosh.
There's a lot of...
Are you comfortable in there? Is everything okay? Can I take a look? Do you see anything? Let's have a conversation. Where are you from? Yeah, who needs that? Again,
right.
A wing, Jason. A wing.
A wing.
And also a wing that wasn't used for 3 separate porn shoots that took 90 minutes total to do.
Right.
In somebody's house in the valley of Las Vegas.
Well, even if you have your own place, the host has the key.
Well, that's true.
I mean,
how
I guess
can you ever
your
be sure?
Don't ever forget that, Jason. I have the key. All right. See you tonight, 10 o'clock, ABC 7.
Thanks, Jason.
Yeah, don't miss this. Kim, what's coming up at the bottom of the hour news?
A busy first full day on the job for Mayor Lightfoot.
And the traffic is being brought to you by the Illinois Department of Transportation.
40 years after an airliner crashed upon takeoff at O'Hare. Finally, a place to remember Flight 191 and the victims. Tonight's cover story on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock.
That is quite a story. One of the bigger Chicago stories of all times. And coming up on that anniversary, it is really, really, really haunting because there are so many things. It's a cascade of events when you have a major air disaster like that. And what happened to get that particular DC-10 that day to crash was a series of little mistakes along the way that if any of those had gotten corrected, that wouldn't have happened and 271 souls would not have been lost that day.
Boy, that says something.
It is. It's a crazy moment.
We got a text from someone earlier when we were discussing this. Hi, Anna Rowe. My name is Kevin. I was literally going to ride my mini bike in that field where the plane crashed. I was on the site when it happened. We had several other people who were nearby and remember where they were that day that happened because it made you think, and all the attention to DC-10s at the time, they...
Right.
Grounded the entire fleet of them and tried and worked to correct the problem, and aviation became safer because of it.
And McDonnell Douglas, that made the DC-10, actually changed the new iterations of the aircraft. They renamed the MD-11 because of that, because they didn't want fly the DC-10. Yeah, I mean it was a little different aircraft, but it was they could have just called it the DC-10 extension, whatever it was. But they chose to do that as a direct result of that particular incident. And there are a lot of other, and as we pointed out, a lot of other aviation rules and regulations changed because of that, including mechanics at competing airlines all being able to talk about mechanical issues.
And share that data,
because
it's helpful.
As opposed to just being siloed to your own company.
Because
aviation with the... just the absolute crazy thing that's happened with Boeing here in the 737 MAX, aviation has never been safer than it is now. Never. I mean, used to have at, you know, a major airline disaster. Like in the 1970s, there was one, I think, every year and a half around the world. And now you know it's very, very, very rare. And that's why when 2737 Maxes went down, you're like, okay, there's a problem here.
Right.
You immediately need to know what it is. There's still, you know, that obviously, you know, the Malaysian aircraft that disappeared and then obviously crashed because they found pieces of it now that floated up thousands of miles away in the Indian Ocean.
Mm-hmm.
And they, you know, that we'll probably never get to the bottom of that. But everything else, you know, they go through, they very rarely does the same thing, with the exception of the 737 Max, mm-hmm. does the same thing bring an aircraft type down twice. Because they work so hard to fix it, so we'll just have to see it is a very solemn, solemn anniversary that's coming up of the Flight 191 crash here in Chicago. And you remember in Dallas there was also an American Airlines 191 crash. Mm-hmm. So everyone's taking that number out of rotation now as a flight number.
Another one. I worked at the nearest hospital. We waited for survivors to arrive after the code blue was alarmed. It was stunning, saddening, and beyond comprehension.
Yeah. No question about it.
Dark day.
Yes, very. All right, so more of that tonight on WGN TV News at 9 o'clock. Because they've got that this look. And the anniversary, I think, is in a couple of days, right? Saturday. All right. Well, on that note, Chicago White Sox baseball is on the air. And Kim Gordon's got the news right before it. Kim?